Now it's time for our regular segment, We the People. I'm joined in studio by David Gavin and Jeff Field. Welcome.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, Jeff.
It's a pleasure to have you all on. And I'm also joined on the line by Dr. Michael Holbrook, a.k.a. my father. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Miles. Hello, Gavin. Hello, David.
Hello, Davin. Hello, David. Gavin and Jeff, he's said through to both.
Sorry, Jeff. Yeah.
But I'm just going to start with yourself, Mick. So as a UK citizen, you'll be voting in this election, or you can vote in this election. And it's definitely been framed as one in the light of several horrific terrorist attacks. How big an issue do you think national security is for the average voter?
Particularly in terms of the tragedy and the awful kind of events, it will play on people's minds. And I think what it also will play into is a kind of discourse around, you know, here is a crisis, we need to avert this crisis, and then the solutions that are proffered in terms of national security. I think it will... Tragically, and you know, one feels for the people who are the victims of such horrific events, but I think it will play into a national security agenda which will make people cautious about change.
Indeed, that's a really interesting point raised there about the idea of national security perhaps being conflated with other issues and the kind of storm in a teacup that may cause. Yeah, any thoughts on that, David, Jeff?
It'll be interesting to see how that all pans out, Miles. I know I've read a couple of articles in regards to UKIP, who are the equivalent of Donald Trump and anti-immigration, I suppose you could say, in the UK. But there, I've seen a couple of reports that have mentioned that UKIP's vote might have be sort of catapulting downwards at a rapid rate. So it'll be interesting to see whether the terrorist attacks do sort of influence the way people vote, and then where the citizens of the UK actually park their vote in terms of who they think is the most responsible and the safest pair of hands in terms of homeland security.
And Jeff, you break a lot of news with 2SER. Anything like this, do you think, you know, you see a lot of those initial reactions through social media and as well as kind of mainstream media outlets. What's your take on the whole issue of national security being possibly conflated with issues of immigration and refugees, as UKIP have tried to do in the past, and they seem to be doing the same in this election, and at least in the leaders' debate?
It's definitely happening, for sure. I mean, even look at the latest Queensland election poll, which shows that Pauline Hanson is hanging on to the vote despite what she's saying. And I know people say there's more chance of you being hit by lightning or, you know, whatever, than being involved in a terrorist attack. But we're coming in to the newsroom almost on a weekly basis and hearing about terror attacks. It's being splashed all over the front pages of newspapers. Constant rolling coverage on television. I mean, you can't get away from the terror attacks. And I think it is actually having an effect, despite the fact that people are told there is more chance of you being hit by lightning. They're constantly hearing about this. They're seeing the horrific images. And as we say, we've had three attacks in the last 3 months in London alone. I think it is beginning to bite with the electorate. So it's going to be very interesting just to see how this pans out between now and Thursday in the UK elections.
And I suppose, Dad, what have you made of the election campaign so far? Are there any candidates that you think you yourself, I mean, as a voter, would be likely to support? We'll throw you out there into the hot-button question, of course.
Well, I think the candidates that make the most sense to me are the ones that deal with the actual issues that are in play, as opposed to what I call the simple trifecta of conflation, which is, if you can lump together terrorism, refugees and immigration as one issue, and I would argue that there are three quite separate issues, I think Gavin's comments are quite interesting in this regard, then when you get someone like the UKIP leader, Paul Nuttall, who in the debate made the comment about wage compression and being related to mass immigration, you implicitly talk about those other two issues when you talk about immigration. And I think the problems of distributive justice and the environment, which I think are massive, massive issues, are kind of sidelined. So my support would be for people, not surprisingly to you, Son, that deal with distributive issues and the environment. And I thought Caroline Lucas was the most polished person on those issues for the Greens in the debate. And I think it was interesting, incidentally, that Jeremy Corbyn, because he would naturally separate those three conflated issues, looks as if he stands nowhere when he's talking about things like immigration, and he looked that way in the debate, whereas I think people like Paul Nuttall actually sound quite plausible because they can conveniently sweep under the carpet the other aspects of that discourse which are caught up in the issues that are not related, if you get my meaning.
Mr. Holbrook-Walk, it's Jeff here. How are you?
Sorry,
my friend. We're just having a few technical problems, but I can hear you now. Look, I'm just wondering, are the people in Britain separating the conflating of the issues, or are they seeing it as one?
I think it will depend, and I think it depends. I think there'll be a lot of regional aspects, as there were with Brexit. For example, you know, the remnants of what happened when in the Thatcher years, particularly around the miners' strike, reinforced that old north-south divide. And I think there is still some of that division left. I think a lot of people are feeling, when you're looking at, I think it was 3 million zero-hour contracts currently in the UK, people are feeling like it's a bit hopeless. And so I think they're tending to look to some easy answers. And so I'm not sure that people are teasing out those things, Jeff. Incidentally, if I can, too, I think there's a glimmer of that in Manchester, where people, in my observation of kind of vox pops, people were beginning to say and to acknowledge, this is happening in Baghdad, this is happening in Afghanistan, it's happening in parts of Africa, and we all need to just carry on and get over this. So maybe there's a glimmer of hope that people are recognising that there are some broader issues at play. Yeah.
Now I'll throw over to David here.
And just one other thing, Miles, in conclusion, is that this election is crucial for Theresa May's leadership. I know there has been some speculation over whether she's made the right decision in calling this election. It was quite a risk. Given that she had some difficulties with the Brexit negotiations, and she was looking for this election to be a circuit breaker, and it could be a circuit breaker, but also a circuit breaker that
breaks the leadership.
End of, circuit
quite literally a circuit breaker to the end of her leadership of the Conservative Party.
I'll just finish on one question for all of you. We might start with Jeff on this one. Is the rise of a candidate like Jeremy Corbyn, who some are comparing to the left-wing version of Donald Trump, and we'll just go very quickly on this note.
I'm going to say Jeremy Corbyn has to stick to his guns and not fall into the populism route for the next couple of days. I think he has to stay to his principles, stay true to his principles, because there'd be a lot of pressure on him trying to ramp up the, you know, let's all scare people. So if Jeremy Corbyn can stay true to his roots, I think that's very important.
I would agree with that, Miles. I think if Jeremy Corbyn can maintain that anti-establishment line and make sure that he's relating with the people and their difficulties, I think that he might be a real show.
And Mick, we'll give you the final word on it. What do you think about this idea of Jeremy Corbyn being a left-wing version of Donald Trump?
Well, I think he's got the right issues. He's got issues of distributive justice by for the many, not the few, front and centre. And I agree that he should stick with those things, and it will be very, very difficult for him in terms of the last few days. And we'll see where it goes, yeah.
Indeed, we will. Thank you for all joining us today on We the People. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.